Off-world invaders of Terra made agreements of interest, between them as well as with the shadow part of Earth-human governments. The Chukar Empire has been the top of the Pyramidion for about 5,000 years on Earth, using human elites as their executive minions, controlling media, corporations, institutions and financial systems, instigating wars, scarcity, fear and insecurity, encouraging corruption, ethnic and religious extremism, terrorism, drug trade and organized crime. The Chukar are exceptionally tough and adaptable to almost any environment, however extreme, although they favor subsurface conditions with dimmed light and mild changes in temperatures. Their usual method of colonizing an inhabited world is to first build an initial base of operation underground, then expand it progressively, traversing the planet with a web of tunnels connecting all their key tactical installations. At the early stage of this underground colonization work, a central government is established with certain leaders and institutions on the surface, based upon their typical multi-level caste hierarchy system. These surface people are made to believe that they are given absolute power, but in truth the real rulers behind the scenes remain the Chukar. Their vindictive nature can prompt a massive warfare response at the slightest irritation. So contact with the Chukar is usually avoided except in the case of open intrusion into territorial space. 3125 BC. In Egypt, King Nama, or Amen/Menezer controls the entire Egyptian territory. Before him were previous kings bearing names such as Ao the Scorpion King at 3250 BC, Ao the Serpent King Ao, etc., that may suggest a hybrid origin. The Egyptian royal dynasties, throughout history, sternly kept the extraterrestrial bloodline as pure as possible, by intermarrying. Ao royalty was transmitted by the females, a tradition carried on by the Hebraic culture with the lineage of the patriarchs. 2566 BC. A attribution of the Great Pyramid of Giza to Egyptian pharaoh Khufu, Ao Cheopsa. Before taking a look into the future, I would like now to complete this timeline with the last recent events that have marked Earth at TMS history. The return of the Nebu. In the 1940s, the Nebu Empire would once again focus their lust on terror. They would roll out their usual agenda, coercing leaders and breeding themselves in. This would lead to the infamous agreements with the MJ-12 in 1955, despite the warnings from the Galactic Federation of Worlds a year prior. The Nebu Tall Greys would coordinate with the Chukar Reptilians and their new support fleet of former German Nazis called the Einaktwaffen ATM, aka the A-Dark Fleet ATM, to form a sinister triangle named the A-Dark Alliance ATM. Thanks to the Zenatine Alliance, the Andromedan Council, these events were spotted A-Time and the forces of the Galactic Alliance, Galactic Federation of Worlds, Andromedan Council, Council of Five, Ashtar Galactic Command and a few others, arrived in this star system to avoid a disaster of a galactic scale. I detailed in real time how this star system was liberated from this great evil in my book Ao We Will Never Let You Down, but we can summarize the timeline of event. Since the early 1958 TMS, the Galactic Federation of Worlds has been secretly helping humanity through the sharing of technology to help build our defenses against the Dark Alliance threat. As part of this cooperation, the Earth Alliance was created, between the military forces of the Earth and positive extraterrestrial military factions to fight back the invader. This cooperation program gave birth to the U.S. Navy TMS Solar Warden Fleet. February 2021 Luna, Earth a TMS Moon, was liberated by the Earth Alliance and the Galactic Federation of Worlds from Nebu and Dark Fleet occupation. April 5th 2021, raids on Mars begin, conducted by the Galactic Federation of Worlds and the Indigenous Martian Alliance. May 14th 2021, the Galactic Federation of Worlds decodes the frequency keys of the stargates used by the Nebu in our star system and locks them down, capturing the commanding officers of the Nebu occupation. June 6, 2021, the liberation of Antarctica from the Dark Fleet. July 5, 2021, final victory on Mars. July 14 to the 17th, 2021, a series of meetings between the Galactic Federation of Worlds and Earth representatives for the various international space programs result in the Jupiter agreements that will outline the plan for the safety and prosperity of the future of this star system in the aftermath of this war. August 28, 2021. The last occupied territories in this star system fall to the Alliance forces, including the planetoid Sears. October 11, 2021. The great fleet of the Interplanetary Confederation, the ACDSATM, arrive in the Sol system. By the end of 2021, the deep underground military bases on Earth have been progressively cleared of hostiles. The Nepu Greys and Chakor are finally cast out of this star system. On July 6, 2022, the Georgia Guidestones, symbol monument for the deep state, their planetary depopulation agenda and their new world order carved in stone and hidden in plain sight, were blown up during the night and leveled up on the following morning. Thorhan only told me this, it was not TMT a terrorist actor. Remember, on January 4, 2022, chapter on ancient arts, Thorhan said to me on an enigmatic tone, evoking the great changes to come for humanity on Earth. Ayo, and what they believed was carved in stone will flow like water. Comparable to the fall of the Berlin Wall, this event will mark the collective consciousness of humanity as the first dominoes falling in plain sight, marking the end of millennia of dark tyranny. New terror. We at MV now come so far, crossing all the battles and the ages of time, to see the uprising of humans of terror. This is the moment we at MV been all waiting for, when we can finally stand up and watch the rising light at the horizon of our future. Terror liberated, reverses the timeline of servitude for the entire galaxy. Now that it has begun, this process cannot be stopped, the royal bloodline's genealogy of Yeshua. The Sangre Leo Sang R.A. Tilda copyright Illa royalty from the stars. Is the Vatican hiding in the vaults of the most forbidden library on the planet, some ancient records hiding a truth that would destroy the very foundations of their institution? Would these forbidden records reveal that the God of the Holy Scriptures was actually enacted by a group of Anunnaki extraterrestrials behaving mischievously or even detrimentally? Were the so-called angels who interacted with humans actually Nordic-looking extraterrestrials and sometimes even Anunnaki themselves? I do not deny the existence of the real angels, as I am convinced that there is a hierarchy of very powerful supraconsciousnesses looking after us. If we consider the fact that Jesusatm very special bloodline descended from the royal lineage of Enki, what to think of the impregnation of his mother Mary? Nothing less than a classical alien abduction comes to my mind. Regarding the genealogy of Jesus, Mary was the carrier of the royal bloodline and not her husband Joseph the carpenter. It is common knowledge that the genealogies contained in Matthew and Luke differ, a common hypothesis among theologians, and that would as well match the purpose of an abduction of Mary to a boost to the genetic lineage, is that Luke's genealogy is of Mary, with Eli being her father, while Matthew's describes the genealogy of Joseph. Conservative Bible commentators explain the difference by holding that Jesusatm's genealogy in Matthew 1:1-16 is traced through Joseph's line to show Jesusatm's royal right to the Davidic throne. Correspondingly, the genealogy in Luke 3:23-38 traces Jesusatm ancestry through Mary's line. Mary's lineage, as recorded by Luke, does not mention Mary, but that Atm's to be expected to including women Atm's names in genealogies was not standard practice. Luke's text says that Jesus was a son, as was supposed of Joseph, of Eli Luke 3:23. Put into context, this is a parenthetical expression, Aeah's son, as was supposed of Joseph, of Eli. A in this interpretation, Jesus is called a son of Eli because Eli was his maternal grandfather, his nearest male ancestor. This comment affirms Jesus' Atm virgin birth, Luke 1:29-38. Joseph was a sinner of Eli by virtue of his marriage to Mary, who would have been the daughter of Eli. A variation on this idea is to explain Ao Joseph son of Eli as meaning a son-in-law, perhaps even an adoptive heir to Eli through his only daughter Mary. So it was actually natural for the evangelists to give the maternal genealogy of Jesus, while expressing it a bit awkwardly in the traditional patrilinear style. According to R. Atory, the reason why Mary is not implicitly mentioned by name is because the ancient Hebrews never permitted the name of a woman to enter the genealogical tables, but inserted her husband as the son of his father-in-law. There is also such a confirmation in an obscure passage of the Talmud, which refers to a Mary daughter of Eli. The theory is consistent with early traditions ascribing a Davidic ancestry to Mary. It also aligns with Luke's TMS greater focus on Mary, in contrast to Matthew's TMS focus on Joseph's TMS perspective. A Jewish tradition ascribing a Davidic ancestry to Mary is also recorded in the Doctrina Jacobi, written in 634. Some notable points in Mary's TMS lineage are that she was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Luke 3:34, she was specifically of the tribe of Judah, verse 33. She was also a descendant of Boaz, verse 32, and David, verse 31. Significantly, Luke traces Mary's TMS lineage all the way back to Adam, verse 38. This fits with Luke's TMS purpose as he wrote to Gentiles and emphasized that Jesus is the Son of God who came to save all people, cf. Luke 2:10-11. In addition, the angel Gabriel affirmed Jesus' TM Judean lineage, telling Mary that he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, Luke 1:32, NLT. Regardless of Mary's TMS specific lineage, that Jesus is a descendant of David and Judah is beyond doubt. My conclusion on that is the suggestion that Mary, carrier of the royal Inki bloodline, was abducted in the aim of reinforcing the oral genetic lineage via artificial fertilization. Would these elements alone, among many others, be the reason why the extraterrestrials themselves kept the true history of Earth hidden from humanity for such a long time, until we are ready to hear it without losing our mind? It is very understandable that such a truth would shake the pillars of all official religions on the planet that are based on a purposely and surgically selected compound of ancient texts. The truth will set us free. It would seem that now is the time when we have grown up enough and are prepared to hear that Santa Claus was not TMT the one who brought the presents, and that he was an imaginary figure enacted by our parents. It is maybe time we are ready to find the divinity of the divine lineage within ourselves. It leads me to think that if Yeshua carried the Inki royal bloodline, then Inki was the real Godel of the ancient scriptures, as the Father are referred to by Yeshua. Although Godel was many times mischievously played out by Enlil, we understand why Maria Magdalena, Yeshua's TMS spouse, was the metaphorical grail, the sacred chalice, her womb, carrier of the blood of Christ, the receptacle for the bloodline of Yeshua, hence Inki TMS genetic inheritance. Maria Magdalena gave birth to a daughter, Sarah, and a younger son, Joseph. She moved with her children to the south of France, landing in Marseille by boat. Sarah would later be known as Sarah d'Amrès bint Yeshua, princess of West Franks. During the 5th century, this Inki royal bloodline intermarried with the royal bloodline of the Franks, thus engendering the Merovingian dynasty. From there, the bloodline continued through the Carolingians, who deposed the Merovingian dynasty from its throne, to William the Conqueror of England, and from there to Great Britain, Ireland, France, Germany, and other parts of the world. By the 15th century, King Louis XI of France acknowledged Maria Magdalena as the source of the French royal line. Today, there are at least a dozen families in Europe who are of Merovingian descent. They include the houses of Habsburg-Lorraine, Plantagenet, Luxembourg, Montpensat, Montesquieu, and others. In Britain, various branches of the Sinclair, Stuart, and Devonshire families are descendants of the royal bloodline? Yeshua spoke in terms which the populations of the time could understand, in a way that related to their cultural background. There is much to decrypt in the New Testament, standing first in the ethnological, geographical, cultural and religious perspectives of these populations, then removing the cultural coating to dig up the core of the information. I am leaving this up to the men and women of knowledge who respond to this call. What if during the disappearance periods in the accounts of the life of Yeshua, he could have been on board a spaceship, being instructed, knowing the double Orion Sirius genetic origins of Yeshua, being of Anunnaki descent? Is there a hint hidden in plain sight that may have been encoded into the myth of the Nativity? The three wise men following the morning star could have potentially been the three stars of the Orion belt following the rise of the star Sirius on the dawn horizon. In ancient Egyptian myths, the helical rise of Sirius was the start of the year and a highly meaningful date. Anunnaki were Sirius-Orion hybrids, and so was Yeshua together with a percent of Earth indigenous and 12 intergalactic genomes. Because I believe he had them all, he was perfection. That is why not only he possessed fantastic psychic and telekinetic abilities, but he could also embody and irradiate a tremendous love power that could alter reality such as miracles, healing etc. This love power is not just a New Age concept, it is science. Love is a phase conjugate force that holds together the holographic construct of the greater universe, or multiverse or omniverse as you want to call it. Love can alter the very fabric of space-time. When we say that God is love, we are right on truth, as what we may call Eogoda on Earth, others in this universe call it Osorcia. Yeshua represented the fully activated human being of Terra, as all humans of Terra are meant to be. And they will be again one day when their genome will be fully activated with all the DNA strands operational. Consider this. The child meant to bring light on Earth was from the guiding star, Sirius, and the place of the three wise men, the Orion belt. Just as the Giza pyramids indicated as well the original place of the gods, with shafts pointing at Sirius. There is so much more than you think, to be decrypted from these ancient texts. The God of the Bible was more than one person. The benevolent, all-loving God was enacted by Enki, and the spiteful, wrathful and vengeful God who loved to punish and divide was enacted by Enlil, who enticed humans to fight and slaughter in his name, to keep them distracted and divided, in order to have them always under easy control. And this is exactly what has been going on to this day. Enki and Enlil TMS ongoing competition for the custody of the Adamu, the royal bloodline, was illustrated very explicitly in the Egyptian myth of Osiris, Enki, and Seth, Enlil. Seth was the sterile one, opposed to Osiris who represented the geneticist and the alchemist of life, the master of the Auaterer. Genetic programs and agendas. The Intergalactic Confederation program was started 65 million years ago on Earth, as part of a seeding experiment under the higher management of the Nine. This program was performed by a cell from the Intergalactic Confederation composed of a council of 24 elder cultures known as Aeth Sedasa or Aeod the Partala. This program stopped being active around 250.000 BC. Although Earth continued to be monitored by the Auaterer from the Intergalactic Confederation, who have maintained three outposts in this star system. The main outpost is on Jupiter at TMS moon Ganymede, and two others are on Earth under the Atlantic Ocean and in the Himalayas, in the La Paz Valley at the border of Ladakh. This particular genetic program came along after the very first seeding program operated by this same group in some star systems of the Lyra constellation. The Orion Council of Five has been working at enhancing and reactivating bloodlines that carry a genetic potential which allows the embodiment of an envoy as be from another star system, and perhaps of a different density. The program of the Council of Five is still ongoing. The Anunnaki genetic programs are actually twofold. Enki TMS Royal Bloodline was a program that turned into an experimental adventure with developing the potential of the human DNA and creating the perfect fully activated human being, Adam. The Adamic bloodline was passed down to the patriarchs, then further down to Yeshua and his descendants in the royal bloodline lineage who are still alive to this day, in safe anonymity. Parallel to this, Enlil also created his own bloodline which descendants remain active to this day through the 13 families that compose the Akabala TM or A Illumination TM. Not all of these 13 families are actual ruling royal families, and not all ruling royal families are of the Enlil strand. The Chukar program started 5,700 years ago when they made agreements with human leaders of the time. In a quest for supreme power, the Chukar hybridized themselves into the royal bloodline of Enlil, who had psychic and magical abilities as well as great material power over this world. Several of the 13 ruling families, nowadays, 2022, have both Enlilian Unarchy and Chukar genetics. The Chukar genetic experiments are part of projects attempting to crack the codes of the human soul for ultimate power. These programs ended with the eradication of the Chukar from this star system. The Nepu program is a hybridization agenda aiming at replacing humans on planet Earth. The creators of the ARKS as a conclusion to the breathtaking adventures of the Lost Arts, we can summarize the general lines as follows. Sphinxes are the most ancient monuments found on Earth and their construction date back to the first colonies of space visitors, such as the Anunnaki people from Sirius B and Orion. They serve as territorial markers. Pyramids were commonly used as energy generators or interdimensional stargates. Various pyramids have been built by various cultures for various purposes at different times. They were built using advanced engineering technologies of the Anunnaki and Orldeans, and not by sweaty slaves pulling megaliths with ropes, contrary to what our misleading history would lead us to believe. Both types of monuments, sphinxes and pyramids, sit generally above halls of records, and frequently shelter ancient space arcs. A good example is the Jizo underground complex, where we can find both a space ark with a couple of scout ships dating back to the Anunnaki colony that landed there, as well as archives of the Atlantean technology deposited by the Orldeans, Intergalactic Confederation, in the underground complex under the Sphinx. Both deposits date back to different periods in time. Halls of records are underground complexes usually located under landmarks such as sphinxes and pyramids. They consist of a series of rooms archiving ancient technology and holographic records held in a higher frequency space or shielding. It can relate to different visiting civilizations, such as mainly Anunnaki, or Syrians, or Altines, etc. An interesting element, as described by Mr. Adusinamar in his Transylvanian book series, is that the Bsgi complex corresponds with a secret room in Egypt under the Giza plateau, that is only accessible via teleportation. This is not the same place as the one where I went to, when I was taken under the Sphinx. This one is located, I believe, in a different place, more likely in the vicinity of the Khafre or Khufu pyramids. As there are no connection with the surface, it is not linked with the labyrinthine web of undergrounds under the plateau. It is more ancient and could be buried further deep. As it is linked to the Bsgi complex, I can say with confidence that this specific room only accessible by teleportation was of Anunnaki construct and materiel, described as Aosirianza by Mr. Cinema, and it is way older than the Atlantean archives stored in the Hall of Records under the Sphinx. All the elements that I have lead me to believe that it completely makes sense. It is the Anunnaki group of Inki who hid these archives under the Bsgi Mountains, so that humanity could reconnect with this knowledge and technology at the appropriate time and when they are ready for it. This is very interesting because it attests of the fact that several cultures, at different times in history, used the same locations to preserve their records and technology. ARKS are spaceships left by ancient extraterrestrial visitors. They often contain a crew in stasis pods, as well as technology. They are very usually surrounded by ancient architectural complexes built by the colony around their ship, after their arrival. The arcs can be discoidal or cylindrical, depending on the culture of origin. The majority of them are intergalactic confederation crafts, but we also find Anunnaki arcs, and secondarily, from Man, Aeolirina systems, and diverse other origins, coming either as colonists or refugees. Arcs are found in many locations on Earth and throughout the whole star system. Merau, in the process of finishing this book, as I read a last time through the timeline of Earth TMS history, my thoughts wandered a few instants on the mention of the first creature selected by the Partal as a start for their genetic engineering of the human races of Terra. Somehow, Thorhan may have caught my thoughts, for that very night of June 28, 2022, I woke up on another planet, very far from here, not even in Nataru. I was laying in the grass, in a similar natural environment as Earth. I sat up and looked around me, at the trees, a magnificent nature, and the golden sunlight cascading from the sky. The fresh crisp air entered my lungs, and it had the same feel as the air in high altitude on a mountain. I stood up, feeling dizzy. The concentration in oxygen was definitely thinner. "Where am I?" I asked. "Very far away from Terra," Thorhan said in my head. "What is going on? Why are you not here with me? How did I get there? Una did this. Why? Where am I?" "On one of the Altian archive worlds, where they keep specimens of life forms that are of importance to them. Una wanted to show you something." "Why is she not here with me?" "She projected you here. All feels solid." "Because it is. Now, here she is coming." I turned back as I heard an animal running in the grass, and then I saw what Una wanted me to see. I understood straight away. A small animal ran towards me, then stopped at about 5 feet away. It had the size of a big cat, a clear creamish fur and a very long striped tail. The creature stretched on her back legs, lifted her small front paws against her chest and stared at me with big round brown eyes. Her thin muzzle was of a darker color and she had round, slightly pointed ears with a bunch of hair on the extremity. She didn't TMT have claws but short dark nails. Emotion seized me. So that was it, the original creature. Tears rolled down my cheeks, it was so emotional. She wasn't TMT afraid of me. Why would she be? I crouched in the grass and held out a hand to her, cautiously. She approached, and to my surprise she climbed on my knees. It destabilized me a little and I fell in the grass, laughing. The animal started to roll on my legs playfully. I could smell her odor. I started to pet her. My emotional level was off the chart. I laughed and cried at the same time. "They name it Merau," Thorhan said. "Like the Irish mermaid." "It has nothing to do with it. It is the name of its species phonetically translated from Altian language. Sometimes, things sound alike in the big universe." I was enjoying petting and playing with this adorable and friendly creature, until great clouds came from behind the tree line, and I heard Oona TMS voice inside of my forehead, not through Thorhana TMS device. "Weather is changing, it is time to go." I bid farewell to Merau not without great sadness. Then I lost consciousness to a whirling vortex. I woke up again, this time on board Thorhana TMS ship. The first thing I saw was his bright smile and his outstretched hand, helping me getting back up on my feet. It didn't TMT take much research to learn that Merau was very similar to a ring-tailed lemur, although she was of a taller size, probably due to the different conditions on that particular life bank planet, and with larger eyes. I still miss the affectionate bond with this beautiful friendly animal, so much emotion to process. What we are made of repertoire of the 22 genomes. Human genome was seeded on Terra by the Partal a very long time ago. 11 intergalactic genomes were added to a base primate creature, that would develop with time into human beings according to the natural laws of evolution.